something for everybody. Amen? And we just want to pray over our gifts. Father, we thank you for giving us the ability to give unto you, Lord. And we do it with joy and pleasure because you've given us a giving nature. Father, we honor you with our substance and the first fruits of all of our increase. And Lord, we thank you that our barns will be filled with plenty and our vats will burst out with new wine. And we thank you for that. Bless every gift and every giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, did you come expecting tonight? What did you expect? Or what do you expect? Something from the Lord. Well, we've got some fresh manna for tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to begin here. God wants to give you rest for your souls. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a restless soul. Maybe you're struggling to enter into the rest that God has provided for us. You know, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And wherever he is, there is rest. He doesn't want you to rest from work or doing his work, but he wants you to be refreshed and revived. And he wants you to go on in his strength. So we're going to talk about rest for your souls tonight, or rest for your soul. Amen? Amen. And in verse 28, we're going to go ahead and begin there. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and what?" So if you're laboring and you're heavy, that means there's something of weight on you, a burden. There's something that might be hindering you. If you've been laboring and you're heavy laden, then tonight is your night. And you're already here. So you've come. See, it's interesting that even when you're laboring and heavy laden, you've got to choose to come. Because God will remove burdens, but by invitation. See, the things of God aren't automatic, and just simply coming to him is an act of faith. All right? Notice, who are we to come to? Come to Jesus. Come to him, right? And his promise is, he said, "I will give you rest." It's appropriate that the Lord of the Sabbath, he is a rest dispenser. And you don't have to put a quarter in. You don't have to put a dollar in. It's free. All you have to do is come to him. "Here I am, Lord." Okay? Let's look at verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you." So now you have to exchange. You've got to exchange what you've been doing and allow him to do something through you. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." We're going to look into this, see what this actually means a little bit. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to" what? "Unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't that good news? The yoke that Jesus wants to give you, he wants to take heaviness. He'll give you the garment of praise for what? For the spirit of heaviness. So the moment you need to praise the most is when you feel the heaviest. You know, I think it's a scripture, lift up holy hands. Maybe it's a song. Shake off those heavy bands and praise the Lord. So this word take, I don't want you to see it as to take something. I want you to see it as to put on something. You're going to exchange something. He literally wants to clothe you with a garment of praise. You know, when I think of a garment of praise, this image just came to my mind. You ever see those suits? They light up, you know, like a neon suit. Well, when you have a garment of praise on you, what do you think you're going to want to do? You're going to want to praise. You know, just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. It's going to want you, it's going to inspire you to praise. Now, this yoke that he's talking about, this yoke is a symbol of submission. All right? He is saying, submit to me, be obedient to me, and accept the task that I give you. You know, a lot of people are doing things that God didn't assign them to. We do a lot of things. People get caught up in the cares of the world, lust for other things, and deceitfulness of riches. Those things you weren't assigned to. You know, when you're doing those things, you're actually choking the word of God and make it unproductive and unfruitful in your life. When you see that you got to take on the cares of this world, we're not supposed to take on cares, we're supposed to cast our cares. If you find the enemy trying to dump cares on you, you are not a care magnet. You're supposed to cast your cares, those things that concern you, you're supposed to cast them. You're not supposed to carry them. Well, let me just carry it around for a while. It feels comfortable. No, cast it unto him. Why? Because he cares for you. You weren't designed to carry it. So when he's saying, take my yoke, he's saying, put this on. Put on submission. Be obedient. And accept the task that I give you. He is inviting us to submit to him. Come under his mission. Come under his provision. You know, whatever mission God has for you, he has provision that goes along with the mission. You'll lack no good thing. Tonight is a night of rest. Amen? So, you're supposed to take unto you his leadership and his lordship. Say, Lord, I can't go on. I need your help. I don't know what to do. I need you to lead and guide and direct me. He'll lead you beside still waters. He'll make you lie down in green pastures. Why do you think a sheep would lie down when they're in a green pasture? What would make a sheep lie down? Because the sheep is so full of good things to eat. The sheep is so full, and God's got such plentiful provision that the sheep can just lie down. See, and when that sheep is lying down, they're resting. Amen? And you know, we know from Hebrews that it takes faith to enter into his rest. So we're taking on his lordship and his leadership. In other words, you have got to accept the fact that it is the Lord who directs you. And in order for him to direct you, you got to hear his voice, right? You've got to be able to recognize when the Lord is giving you an instruction, because that instruction can mean the difference between life or death. You've been given an instruction tonight to cast your cares unto him. So not one person should leave here full of care. No worries. But what about this? No worries. You give it to the Lord. You let him work. If you didn't have to trust God, you know, trusting means you don't know how it's going to turn out, but you're trusting him. You may not know how it turns out, but you're trusting him. Well, what if this happens? You're trusting him. Doesn't matter. See, the enemy would love to convert your trust into care. He would love to put burdens on you, to weigh you down. You know, think of a boat. And if you put too much weight in the boat, what's going to happen to the boat? It's going to sink. It can only hold so much. And Satan would love to load you down. Instead of a speedboat, you'd be like a little chugga, 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 you know. He'll load you down so that he will hinder your progress. But here's the solution right here. Come unto Jesus. All those who are heavy laden, your bill of lading, you got too much stuff, you're over the weight limit. Don't they stop trucks that are over the weight limit? And they put on hefty fines. Okay, then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You have to take a posture of learning, teachableness. See, Jesus demands obedience. But where there's ignorance, he will teach you. But where there's rebellion, he will correct you. It's better to be ignorant than to be rebellious, right? God can teach you what you don't know. But God can't make you do what you refuse to do. So you've got to learn of him. That's his discipleship. God's not interested in making converts. He didn't say go into all the world and make converts, did he? Go into the world and make what? Disciples. What's the root word of, you know, discipline, disciple, right? Christianity is not a free-for-all. It's all for the Lord. The same word to learn is the same root word for disciple. Are you ready to take on his task today? You know, he may have an assignment for you tomorrow. He may have something for you to do, someone for you to connect with, and as we take a posture of learning, that means we wait for him to show us what to do, where to go, and how to do it. You think Moses knew how he was going to get across the Red Sea? But he was learning. He had a posture of learning. That means when God spoke, he did whatever God said. Raise up your stick. Okay. Oh, wow, the water parted. He had no idea what God wanted to do. But because of his learning, he was, you know, even while he was going, he was still learning. That's how we have to be. Learn of me. He's the master teacher. Learn what it means to be his disciple. Place yourself under his direction. accept his teachings, learn his truths, and become his disciple. You know, John 8:31 and 32, it says, you shall know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free, make you free. But you know the verse before that, he's talking about being a disciple. Notice, it's the truth that you know that sets you free. If you don't know the truth in an area, you can become bound in that area until you get exposed to the truth. You know, we could be doing something in the natural, and we could think it's right until God shows us a different way. Example, the Apostle Paul. He thought it was God's will for his life to persecute Christians. And he went after that wholeheartedly, didn't he? And in his mind, he thought he was doing right until Jesus showed up on the way to Damascus. And he pointed out to Paul, this is not what I want you to do. Jesus gave Paul a task. His task was to go before Gentiles, kings, and the Jews. I want you to pay attention to the order in which God said to do it. Who was the first group of people that Paul went to? The Jews. Who gave him the most trouble? The Jews. Until finally, you read, I forget what chapter of it is in Acts 17 to 20 or something. He says, I'm done with you. I'm going to the Gentiles. But see, he kind of added to what God said. You know, God is a God of order, and there's a reason why he tells you things in sequence. God's sequence matters. Do what he says first, and then get to what he says next. Don't try to do what's next first, because God didn't say next first. He said first before next. Amen? So when you come to Jesus, are you going to find someone who's harsh and mean and overbearing? No. Look at what he says. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You're going to find someone who's humble, gentle, patient. How many years did God have to wait for you to come to him? Does he ever bring that up about you? You never hear the God, look, I waited for you 20 years to make a decision for Christ now. What's the problem? I'm so glad he doesn't speak like that to us. Amen? He is meek. He is gentle. He is lowly in heart. So you're not going to find someone who's harsh. Listen, God really has your best interests at heart. He really wants the best for you. And God's plan for your life is the best. You will be miserable your entire life if you live a life that's contrary to God's plan for you. And then you'll end up at the end of your life without any rewards. You know, imagine if you get to heaven. I got to show you this illustration. Imagine if you get to heaven and you have nothing to give to the Lord. All you have is your salvation. You never did anything else for the Lord other than get saved. Hey, praise God that you're in heaven. But don't you want to give something back to him, what he's given to you? You better go into heaven with your pockets full. What does that mean? It means witness to your sphere of influence. And don't worry if the people reject you or accept you. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. Amen? find out what God's will is for your life and do it. Don't delay anymore. Don't make excuses. Now that might mean you're going to have to come out of your comfort zone. You've gotten too comfortable in that little zone. So you're going to find Jesus, he's humble and gentle. He will not trouble you. It's his nature. And then he says you'll find rest for your souls. It means rest for your souls is proper fellowship with God. It is a vibrant, thriving, close relationship with God. When you're walking with God like that, you're going to enjoy life. Because he said, in my presence is fullness of joy, and at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. Rest for your souls means everything with you and God is good. It's great. It's a place where you can rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And you just rejoice because he overflows your heart with such joy. And there's pleasure. There's true ecstasy with the Lord. Enoch was a man who got to this place. Enoch was seventh from Adam. There was a time when Enoch lived, when Adam lived. Enoch probably got to talk to Adam and ask him some questions. Maybe he found out what it was like to walk with God in the cool of the day, like when God would come down to the garden. Enoch got excited. When he heard great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam talk about walking with God in the cool of the day, Enoch got excited. And he said, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. And he was walking with God. Him and God were having a good time. And Enoch got so close to God, God said, Enoch, why don't you come over on this side? He said, okay. And one day Enoch got up and he stepped over into glory. You know what his testimony was? Enoch left a testimony in this earth. It is recorded in the Bible. His testimony was he pleased God. He got to where he was enjoying himself in life so much. Him and God were having fellowship. You know what? God's a jokester. There's no one who knows better jokes than God. God will make you laugh. One time, Jesse Duplantis told this story. He was preaching. He was staying in someone's house. And at night, he would see this black figure kind of move. And he would start rebuking that thing. And then it would stop. Then it would move again. This black figure would kind of move back and forth. And Jesse, this kept going on all night. Finally, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. He had been rebuking. He'd been standing on his bed. He's been shouting the name of Jesus. And when the sun shone in his room, it was a coat that was hanging over the vent. And every time the air would kick on, it would move. And Jesse got mad. Jesse said, God, why didn't you tell me it was a coat? And God spoke to Jesse. This is Jesse telling it. God said, Jesse, I thought that was the funniest thing ever that I've ever seen. So when you have that kind of relationship with God, you will have the most fun than you will ever have with anybody else. Because God knows how to enjoy life. Listen, the author of life knows how to enjoy what he created. He knows the beauty of it. You know, Jesus never woke up with a bad hair day. There was nothing that could fluster Jesus when he walked this earth. People criticized him. They accused him. They wanted to kill him. Listen, when people wanted to kill him, he would just walk away. And people trying to kill him be like, he was just here. Where did he go? Which way did he go? What? Jesus enjoyed life. Jesus wants you to enjoy life. And when you got this kind of relationship with God, you can enjoy life to its fullest. You can have rest for your souls. When I saw this tonight, I'd never seen this before. I got excited tonight. In other words, when you have rest for your souls, you will find fulfillment. You will be fulfilled. The Bible says he'll satisfy your mouth with good things. I want my mouth to be satisfied with good things. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And you know, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, there are two qualities that stand out. It's gentleness and self-control. All of the fruits apply. So what we're really talking about, how you can have this kind of relationship with God, is really walking in humility. When you're a humble person, that doesn't mean you do without. It means you're not trusting in yourself. You're not trusting in your talents or your gifts, but you're trusting in God. To be a truly humble person means you put all that you have in God's hands. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? What did he say? One of the things he said was, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He fully trusted God with his life. And even though he died, 3 days later, he rose again. When you trust God to that level, God will do great things through you. So in these last few minutes, I just want to give you some advantages of humility. Amen? Because what these verses in Matthew are talking about is someone who's humble, coming to Jesus, learning from him, taking his yoke upon him, accepting what he has for them. Listen, all faith is just accepting what God gives. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Salvation is by grace, by faith through, by grace through faith, or through grace. It is a gift of God, isn't it? Gifts can be one of two things. A gift can be rejected, or a gift can be accepted. All God wants is for his children to accept his gifts. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, supernatural enablements to function. They're gifts that God gives. And the people who operate them are the ones who have received them. And the spiritual gifts, they're operated as the Spirit wills. We simply yield to them. Amen? You're just like a switch on the blender. God will push the switch and the blender will start to move. But if you don't have that switch, the blender's not going to move. Yeah, you got to have the power, but you got to have the switch. Amen? It doesn't work without the switch. Psalm 25:9. I'm just going to give you a few advantages of humility. Psalm 25:9. The meek, that word meek is also humble. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So to be humble means God is going to guide you. In other words, humility gives you access to God and his goods. Humility gives you access to God and his goods. And anytime the Bible talks about humility, it's always in the form of humbling yourself. You know, God's not going to put you in an arm lock and make you humble. I'm going to humble you, no. You've got to choose to humble yourself. Okay? It is a choice. We all can make that choice, can't we? We can choose to accept or reject what God offers. If you need healing in your body, accept Him as the healer. Welcome healing. Say, Father, I give an open invitation for healing in my body. I welcome healing in my body. I don't welcome sickness. You can choose who you invite in. Psalm 147:6. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Other versions say the Lord sustains the humble. He'll support you, He'll uphold you, and He'll lift you up when no one else will. And God will turn your pity party into a praise party. Don't invite God to a pity party because He won't show up. Because when He comes, He'll turn your pity into a praise. And that will be the very exit out of that circumstance. If you want to get out of a pity party, you got to praise Him. Offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Praise is your way out of self-pity. That's good. Thank you, Lord. So He will sustain the humble. Humility gives you access to God's provision. To sustain means to maintain, to uphold. Listen, God will never call you where He won't provide for you. He will always equal His provision with His calling. Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. Was Elijah provided for at the brook? Then he said, go to the widow Zarephath. Was he provided for with the widow? Did God have provision everywhere He said for him to go? Did Jesus tell His disciples, go to the man and ask him for the donkey or for the colt? And He said, if he asks you, just tell him the Lord has need of it. Peter, go throw in your line, and the first fish you catch, there's going to be a coin in it. Let's pay our taxes. Everywhere that God sends you, He provides for you. So when God sends you somewhere that you've never been, don't say, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make it? I've never been there. I don't know what they have. Didn't God tell the Israelites, I'm sending you to a land flowing with milk and honey? And He sent them to look out the land for 40 days, and they said it was exactly as He said it was? Psalm 149:4. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. Say, the Lord has pleasure in me. He enjoys you. He loves you. He created you. He thinks you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God thinks you're awesome. He wouldn't have made anything not awesome that was made in His image. He used His image to make you. You're a copy of the Master. God has pleasure in you. You know what? That will wipe away all the negative words that have ever been spoken over you. You just tell the devil, say, ha ha, devil, God takes pleasure in me. Ha, 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 devil. He takes pleasure in me. How about you, devil? Does God take pleasure in you? No, He doesn't. You got kicked out of heaven. I've got invited in. You got kicked out. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Other translations say He'll crown the humble with salvation. He adorns and honors the humble with his best gift, salvation. And salvation includes everything. Salvation is the whole enchilada. Salvation is the supersized order. Salvation means the God kind of life, the Zoe, the God kind of life. Salvation is everything. Salvation is wholeness. He gives it to the humble, to those who trust in him, to those who don't, who come to him, to those who learn from him, to those who exchange their heavy burdens for easier ones. Go to James chapter 1. James 1. Is this helping some people tonight? Tonight is a restful night. You know, it's good to shout. It's good to run around, good to laugh, but it's also good to rest, isn't it? And when you rest in God, him holding you up is not going to collapse. God is not a rickety old chair. He is a firm foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the rock of our salvation. James 1, 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with what? Meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your what? So, a humble person accepts God's word because it's the only thing that can save to the uttermost. You've got to receive the engrafted word. You know, engrafted means this: to mesh together. When a truck and a trailer, they get hooked up, they're engrafted. When a person gets adopted into a family, he's engrafted into that family. Amen? God has adopted us. We are engrafted in. We are Jewish by adoption. We work for a rich Jew. His retirement plan is out of this world. His medical plan is by his stripes, you're healed. And he treats you like his own child. He's our father. He gives us his Holy Spirit whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. But we got to receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Listen, this word can change your life. This word can change your physical condition. This word can get you connected with your destiny. This word can cause you to prosper. But you got to receive it. It can't help you if you don't receive it. If you don't take ownership of it, it can't help you. Isaiah 57. Oh, this is a good one. Isaiah 57. Verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You know that you can have a conversation with the one who inhabits eternity? Mm-mm-mm. That makes me happy. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Did he say with him also? Did you know that when you humble yourself in God, he will cause you to be lifted up to where he is? Ephesians tells us he makes you to sit with him in heavenly places. What's he going to do there? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What does that mean? That means God's going to revive you. He's going to bring life to you. He's going to live in you. He's going to move in a humble atmosphere, and he'll do miracles for a humble attitude. God does miracles for those who put their trust in him. You know what? He even does miracles for those who don't trust him. Because sometimes the miracles lead them to trusting in him. He did a lot of miracles for unbelievers. Naaman, he was the Syrian commander who had leprosy. His little servant says, his little servant was an awesome witnesser. Hey, there's a prophet in Israel who can heal you. So he goes down to Israel, and he comes, and the prophet sends his servant out and says, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Phew, I'm not going to wash in that dirty, filthy water. The rivers in Syria are much better. And then thank God for wisdom. Well, sir, if he would have told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Well, yes. Well, why don't you do this? Okay. So he gets into the Jordan. 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 7 times, what happens? His skin was like that of a baby. I bet he became a believer then. At first, he was a little reluctant, like some of us are. I'm not too sure about that. I'm not too sure about that speaking in tongues. I don't know about that. Come on in. The water's fine. You get in and you'll enjoy it. Just come on in. He revives. Listen, God lives in a humble heart. He moves in a humble atmosphere. When people just come together and we're just trusting God, we're just believing God, God can do great things. How many times did Jesus have to go into a room and cast out the daughters? There were a couple times where he had to go in and get rid of some people before he could do a miracle. But there are amazing things that can happen to a humble person. A person who comes to Jesus, learns from him, takes his yoke, puts his leadership and lordship on them. And finally, you don't have to turn there, but James 4:7, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What is grace? Divine ability. Divine power to do the impossible, along with favor. God will give you grace to the humble. So when the Holy Spirit is moving in a particular way and people resist the move, they don't get grace. Because God gives grace to the humble. The humble person is not going to dictate to God how he should move. Some people think, well, God can only move like he moved 20 years ago. Really? I mean, you want to stifle creativity? God's a creator. He likes to do new things. God is vibrant. Listen, I don't care how big of a box you build. You can't fit God in your box. He will always remodel your box by knocking down the walls. God's a lot bigger than we give him credit for. He can move in all kinds of ways. He can move in stillness. Isn't that what Elijah learned? He wasn't in the fire or the earthquake or the wind, but he was in the still small voice. In the stillness, God can speak to you. He can move in a peaceful way. God can move swiftly and quickly. I'm not here to say how God should move. I'm just here to move however God wants to move. Amen? I'm here to humble myself. See, here's the thing. When you humble yourself under your mighty hand, he will exalt you. But if you try to exalt yourself, he'll knock you down. Jesus humbled himself. How did he do it? He came from heaven to earth. He came from having no limit to being in a body. He came from a place that had no darkness to a place that was full of darkness. And he humbled himself to such a degree, that's why God was able to exalt him to the highest place. The degree that you humble yourself before God is the degree that he will exalt you. If you humble yourself a little, you'll be exalted a little. If you humble yourself a lot, you'll be exalted a lot. God will take you to great heights. There's a scripture that says he'll cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. So in order to have rest for your soul, humble yourself and you will find rest. You will find the peace, the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the true joy as God connects you with his presence. So Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Father, we put no trust in our flesh, no trust in ourself. We trust, all of our trust is shifted unto you. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I cast all my cares, everything that concerns me, everything that tempts me to worry, I cast it unto you. I'm not going to carry it anymore. I want to be free from that. Here it is, Lord. I'm giving it to you. Thank you, Lord, for making me free and lighting my load. In Jesus' name. Amen. Whew, I can just feel a release. Sometimes you have to get on your knees to fight like a man. Sometimes you got to humble yourself and get lost in worship to unleash God's protection over a situation. God is calling you deeper. How deep do you want to go? That's up to you. You can go up to your ankles. You can hang out in the baby pool. You can stay in the shallow end. Or you can get to where you have to swim and tread water. That's where you're really trusting God. Amen. God has got some great things in store for you. And the devil is a liar. He's a dirt bag. He really is. He crawls on his belly and eats dirt. He's a dirt bag. And you have been given victory over him. The devil is under your feet. I'm talking about the devil. All of his demons, all of the kingdom of darkness, they're under your feet. So don't go around acting like they aren't. When the devil is stirring up trouble, fight back. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Profess a good confession before many witnesses. Listen, if victory is in your heart, victory will be in your mouth. But if defeat is in your heart, defeat will be in your mouth. Father, we just wait on you for a moment. Just enter into his rest right now. Let everything, the family members, let them go for right now in this moment. I want you to see the Lord high and lifted up. See his train filling his temple. And maybe if we have some worship music, you make a decision that you're going to enter into this rest. There's an invitation for everyone to come into his rest today. You just come in your heart. If you've got to do something physical to reinforce it, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Amen? If you want to just come up, kneel before the Lord, if you want to come up and stand in his presence, you can sit in your seat. But enter in. Enter in. Enter in. God is calling you to come. Come unto me, all those who are thirsty, and I will give you living water. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Yes, hear the sound of him calling.
You've got to get to that place where nothing matters but the voice.
Yes.
You must get there.
Yes.
It must drown out all else in your life. All the cares.
Yes.
All of your other desires. All
yes.
of your passions. Everything else has to be brought down to a level where the loudest thing you hear is his voice saying, come, come,
yes.
come.
He's
As
calling.
You bring forth the sound of heaven, the Lord says, I will begin to fill the atmosphere.
Yes.
It will be not what you say. It will be who you are. It
yes.
Who you, are. You will no longer wonder what it means not to be able to minister or move because of the weighty presence. You will know my weighty
yes.
presence, he says.
Yes.
You will know my glory. You must ask him to come. You must create an atmosphere for his spirit.
Hallelujah. Sorobo kasiti ala mama.
You must give him worth.
Yela baroto kosanda la mama mama.
You must value him above your next breath.
Yela baroto kosanda la mama mama.
You must ask him to come. You must cry out until the sound
yes.
of heaven reaches earth. You must cry out until your voices are one with him. You must cry. You must cry.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You must cry out for it.
God is calling us as a church to be a supernatural church, that his glory and his presence may dwell upon us and fill us till we overflow with the name of Jesus. We've got a supernatural work to win the lost in Palmyra and in this region and throughout this county.
Come!
And it's going to require more of us.
You must come to us. You must come. We must have you.
And not everyone will answer the call, but those who do,
come.
God will
come.
Fill you. And release you to go. He will send you out.
God, come, we plead, come, come,
with
come,
power
come.
And authority to do miracles, signs, and wonders
Let
in the name of Jesus.
Be heard in this place. Come. Come to this place. Come. Come.
Yes.
Come. Build a house for your glory.
We come, Lord.
Come.
We come. With all our heart, all our soul, and all of our mind.
Come.
Not holding
come.
Anything back anymore.
Let us hear the sound of heaven. Come. Come.
Some of you have been
Holy Spirit, come into this
pushed
place.
Aside by the devil.
Fire.
He's gotten you off track so easily.
Fire.
Haven't
Fire.
We learned that he's defeated? He has no authority, no power. He's been stripped and made a show of him openly. It's time for us to resist, stand fast in the faith, and to rise up.
I just want you to see Jesus.
Oh, we give you thanks and praise. We just need to praise him. Just begin to praise the Lord for just a moment. Hallelujah.
And he's walking through the room looking at
right now, the most important thing is his presence, nothing else. Oh God, we cry out for you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. You're doing a mighty work. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord. to be vessels of honor, meet for your use, prepared unto every good work. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We receive of your mighty hand. We receive strength and grace. Oh, we receive your power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Receive what you need tonight. Take it. It is yours. Take ownership of it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus. Oh, we're rising above discouragement. Press through, press through, press through. Don't give in to fear, intimidation, or pressure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.